Welcome to At the Organ, a weekly show about the classical organ and its music, heard on organlive.com every Sunday or streaming from our website anytime. Just point your browser to attheorgan.com for more information. Now, let's hear what's happening this week at the organ.
Hello again, and thank you for joining me on this week's At the Organ. I'm Brent Johnson, and today is April 29th, 2012. Leo Sowerby, once called the Dean of American Church Music, was born on May 1, 1895. Sowerby was the first composer to receive the Prix de Rome and won a Pulitzer Prize for a distinguished musical composition in 1946. He was an extremely prolific composer, and most organists know his name, but few play his music. And out of all of his compositions, for whatever reason, a few, such as his Carillon, written in 1917, or Pageant from 1931, have risen to the top of concert favorites. In this series, we're going to hear and explore what may be lesser-known chorale preludes. To help us out, I joined William Partridge, organist and choirmaster of Christ Church Cathedral in downtown St. Louis. We talked about Leo Sowerby and the organ gallery of the cathedral. He talked about how he came to meet Leo Sowerby.
Actually, I first met him in 1958, I think it was, when I was an undergraduate student at the conservatory in Cincinnati. And there was a contest put on by the conservatory to create compositions for brass and organ. And Dr. Sowerby was one of the judges, and I was one of the students who got a new piece for organ and brass in manuscript and learned the organ part, of course. And then there was a day when he spent 2 days with us at the conservatory, and there was a day when we all played our piece with the brass and organ, and I remember late that afternoon someone had a little happy hour and Dr. Leo came. That was one of his favorite things aside from composing. We all had a chance to sit and talk with him, and that was very exciting to meet him, because all of us had learned prior to that at least one or two of his compositions for the organ. So it was great to do that, and that's how I first met him. Then much later, when I graduated from the conservatory, and I went to Washington and worked at the Library of Congress in the music department for a while, and I won a fellowship to study for 2 years at the National Cathedral. Dr. Sowerby retired from Chicago and came to live in Washington. He actually lived in a wonderful little stone house right on the Cathedral Close, just down behind the cathedral, and there was created what was known as the College of Church Musicians. And many people auditioned from all over the country, and seven were chosen, and I was fortunate enough to be one of those seven. And so then, beginning in 1962, I was a full-time student at the College of Church Musicians for 2 years, and Dr. Sowerby was the director of the College of Church Musicians. And we just had, you know, classes every day, sometime during the day, with him, or with Paul Calloway, who was the organist and choir master of the cathedral, or Wayne Dirksen, Richard Wayne Dirksen, who was the associate there. Dr. Leonard Ellenwood was from the Library of Congress, and he was a liturgist, and we had classes with him. So we spent most of our time with Dr. Sowerby there. That's how I got to know him better. We had classes, as I say, of some kind every day, sometimes twice a day. Each day in the week, we were assigned a rehearsal with boys, the cathedral choir boys, and we rehearsed them and played evensong. They sing evensong every day. Which is a wonderful experience, of course, frightening a bit as a young student to do that sort of thing. And
were students required to play then for those evensong?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I would take, at one point, Wednesday was my day, and I would take the rehearsal, and then we would go up and do evensong. And Dr. Sowerby came most of the time to observe and critique. By then, Dr. Sowerby had mellowed greatly. He wasn't the somewhat redhead tyrant that I had heard about in his younger days back when he was in Chicago. You know, he was there for 35 years in Chicago. He was the organist and choir master at St. James Cathedral and, of course, taught at the American Conservatory, had many wonderful students. So he was gentle with us. That was nice.
Well, today I'd like to talk about two of his works specifically. The first is a chorale prelude on the hymn tune Land of Rest. I think it's probably one of his more popular ones, maybe just because it's easier to play. Tell us about that work.
I've learned those notes and actually played part of it in church one day. It's a bit long. You know, Dr. Sowerby's philosophy was, when he was setting chorale preludes, if the hymn had five verses, then he did five variations. If the hymn had eight verses, like Sine Nomine for All the Saints, he set eight different versions, or eight different variations on the hymn tune. Land of Rest in the 1940 hymnal back then did have five verses, and so it's a bit long, but it's a remarkable piece, and it's probably his best example of dealing with canons. It seems to me that every verse is a canon at a different interval, canon at the first and the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth, and on and on and on it goes, and it's incredibly remarkable that he makes it work. It's just a giant canon.
Indeed. Andy and I were having that same discussion about how he pulls that melody.
Oh, yeah. He just keeps that canon going between the two hands and the feet. You know, with at the organ, he's got three people, in a sense, to work with playing the canon. Two hands and both feet.
And still maintaining that harmonic language that he
uses. Oh, yes. Right.
Thank you.
You are listening to At the Organ.
Sowerby was known as the dean of church musicians.
Yes.
What sort of output did we find from him?
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't even name now. I used to be able to name the number of chorale preludes. There must be 30, at least 30 chorale preludes, an equal number of anthems, two or three or four cantatas, a great deal of music for the church. He wrote more than any other composer, I believe, has to this date in America. It was, he said it was when he was in Rome studying, having won the Prix de Rome, that he was convinced that his style was perhaps better suited for the church than for other things. Though prior to that, he had written symphonies, piano concertos, lots of orchestral music. In fact, people in St. Louis might not know that in the late 1920s, Leo Sowerby, who was first a brilliant pianist in his younger days, he wrote a piano concerto, and it was premiered by the Chicago Symphony. And he came to St. Louis and performed that piano concerto with the St. Louis Symphony and stayed across the street from us at the old Jefferson Arms Hotel. We all rejoiced that Dr. Leo, after days of hard work, and he was really a hardworking man, he was up and started composing every day about 5:30 in the morning. He composed things in the 2 years I was there, and none of us knew that he was doing it. For instance, one day after class, we were having a little happy hour, and he was famous for his martinis. And went through quite a ritual in the preparation for them. He announced that he had just finished his fifth symphony, which had been commissioned by the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra. And to our utter amazement, you know, there it was in manuscript. He had been, I don't know how long he'd been working on it. But he was a very disciplined person. I think he was all of his life a disciplined person. I remember that he said that when he was sort of almost a self-taught organist. He had a few lessons, but where he was in Grand Rapids, you had to pay 25 cents an hour to use the organ to practice, and he didn't have that 25 cents. Now, back in 1912, that was a lot more money than it is today, of course, and that he went to a butcher shop and bought large sheets of brown paper, wrapping paper, and outlined the pedal board, drew the pedal board on it, and would sit on the piano stool practicing his pedals on the brown paper, because he couldn't afford to go to the church and spend hours, which he would have done, I'm sure. He never traveled as an organist, to my knowledge. I mean, he certainly played in a great deal in Chicago, and I'm sure gave recitals at St. James. But I think, you know, in his early days, he was very active and well known as a concert pianist.
That's all for today's episode. Thank you for joining me today on At the Organ. We'll be back next week with the rest of this interview and Sowerby's Prelude on Malabar. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. If you would like to help support this free podcast, please visit the Foundation's website at organmedia.org, where you can donate via PayPal. Remember, you can visit our website to leave comments on this show or to find previous episodes. There you can also find links to our Twitter feed and our Facebook page. Thanks again for listening, and I'll meet you here next time at the Organ.
You've been listening to At the Organ, a weekly look at the art and music of the classical organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this week's show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you here next week at the Organ.